HarperCollins presents Never Date a Roommate by Paola Ottoni. Read by Gabriella Tolla. To the Viking roommate I married. 1. Today I'm going to quit. End it all and go back to Brazil. Because my dream of happiness in the happiest country in the world ends when my lease does, in 10 days. I climbed the stairs to the second level of Scorpio Games, and the familiar scent of freshly brewed coffee and brand new Apple devices welcomes me. The lack of typing or chatter in the open office is explained by the circle of people standing in the empty space between the desks. I swiftly leave my purse on my desk and join my teammates, squeezing myself between the quality assurance lead and Chiara, the sweet Italian QA tester who sits next to me and is the closest I have to a friend here. It's the second time this week that I'm late for our daily 9 a.m. stand-up meeting, and everyone but Chiara ignores my arrival as they listen to Ellen, the 2D artist, listing the tasks she must tackle in the next few hours. Chiara announces she'll be looking for bugs in the latest version of Beetle Battle Match 3. I then tell everyone my goal is to make 3 more puzzle levels before the weekend and tweak the difficulty on some of the ones I've already made. My answer is almost the same every day, and I always fulfill my promise, even if that means working a few extra hours. Sometimes I even make more levels than I say I'll do just because I'm efficient. My passion is long gone. I wonder when I lost it. I like the place, but I don't like my place in it. I'm ready for more challenges, to use my skills and creativity without so many boundaries. But that won't happen here. And even if it did, it wouldn't matter, because the lease on my small studio apartment in the center of Copenhagen will expire in 10 days, with no possibility of extension, and I have nothing else in sight. Once I sit at my desk, I open my phone to the Beetle Battle Match 3 app and play level 679 to remember what I've already done, so I can do something slightly different for level 680. A notification then pops up at the top of the screen. I'm ready to ignore the message, but Mom keeps spamming me, so I open the chat. Mom.
Nada de apartamento ainda.
Mom.
Seu quarto está te esperando aqui.
House, heart, sunshine, lips, prayer hands, thumbs up emojis. I take a long, deep breath. She's asking me if I found an apartment, is saying my room is waiting for me, and is illustrating it all with a row of emojis to remind me of all the love and sunshine I'm missing. To top it off, she sends me pictures of the room I had in her house. I was sharing it with my cousin Mariana, who was in college and couldn't stand living with her parents in a satellite city an hour away from the centrally located University of Brasilia. Neither of us paid rent to my parents, which would have been an insult. Mom would rather pay me to live with her. I'd have given anything to have my own place, where I could be independent, make my own choices, and find out who I wanted to be in peace and solitude. But I couldn't afford my living expenses with the jobs I had in Brasilia. Besides, Mom wouldn't have left me alone, no matter how many buses she had to take to visit me. I get an empty feeling at the bottom of my stomach looking at the tiny room with pink walls full of outdated stickers and posters. The emptiness hits my heart with a punch as I stare at the bunk bed I know still creaks, the narrow desk that hardly accommodates my towering pile of office supplies, the plastic computer chair, all the stuff I left behind. Which doesn't at all seduce me or make me nostalgic. They are only reminders of why I shouldn't go back.
How's your apartment search?
Chiara asks me. I blink at her, lowering my phone. She raises an eyebrow and ties her pink hair up in a ponytail.
Have you found anything yet?
I shake my head. No.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?